Hi, everybody. John Robson checking in from COP29 in Baku, Azerbaijan. And as you know, I'm here in person because I'm intrigued to see what really goes on at these conferences. What is behind the headlines of the news stories, many of which I strongly suspect were written long before the journalist even got onto the plane, let alone off it. And one of the things that's becoming clear, this being the second day of 2 weeks to save the world or whatever it is that there isn't exactly a burning sense of urgency. Sort of the odd things. We were here the first day, and there was meant to be one big event, and then everybody kind of wandered off from 2:30, 3 o'clock, we're all done here. Noticed all the volunteers getting on the bus. And we're here on the second day, and you look at the schedule, and there's a number of things going on. Some of them are meant to be super important conversations by heads of state who are really going to save the planet. Some of them a bit of a circus sideshow. And then these meetings about meetings, we've got the G7 plus China coordinators or the African negotiators in closed meetings that seem to happen two or three times a day. Imagine trying to get 80 people to agree on how you're going to negotiate with 150 other people and do it twice a day over 2 weeks. It seems that they weren't really prepared. And in fact, here I want to digress and talk about the almost great Richard Nixon, who, among other things, was the subject of my doctoral dissertation, as many of you know, and as some of our critics suddenly pounce on as though it were a great discovery listed on our website, my academic training is in history. And one of the things that Nixon said is you don't go to a summit unless you've already reached an agreement, because otherwise you're going to look like fools standing up there unable to produce anything meaningful. He had very successful summits with arch enemies of the United States, from the communists in Moscow to the communists in Beijing, because he did his homework, he focused on practicalities, and he was hard-headed. But we come here and, well, yes, all the world leaders are gathering to tell you how great they are, but then you can see on the broadcast screen, there's the Secretary General of the UN and the President of the host country greeting, like Hollywood celebrities, one leader after another, and then they're standing up there for what looks like hours, posing for the cameras. These are not people with an urgent agenda. And so I'm increasingly of the opinion they talk a good game, right? Oh, and they say the things you know they're going to say, including that people are fleeing from hurricanes and the world can't wait and no, it's a glorious opportunity to make money. All the stuff they've said over and over again. But that's another part of the lack of urgency. Why come here to say things everybody knows you think that you've said to them in gatherings like this one for 3, 4, 5 years now? The notion that we're actually here to solve a practical problem is increasingly hard to reconcile with the languid pace of what's going on and the sorts of things they're doing. Now, it's only the second day. Maybe they'll kick it into low gear later, and if so, I'll let you know. But I really am having this impression right now that nobody here is in anything like the hurry they ought to be, given the urgency of the situation that they claim to be here to fix. Anyway, we will report in and tell you if it changes, but for now, that's how things look here in Baku, Azerbaijan, for COP29, where I'm John Robson with the Climate Discussion Nexus.